With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this month's edition, we'll be taking stock as we speak to six journalists who know their onions. We're going to be speaking to Adam Lord up at the Lancashire Post about Lancaster City. We're going to be speaking to Ian Burke from 26-0, all about the Lancashire contingent in Division 1 North. On the other side of the Pennines from Yorkshire, we've got Tom Feeney. And further down south, we're joined by Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, by sports editor from the Spalding Guardian, Mark Lee, and we're going to be talking Rushton and Diamonds with Northants Telegraph's very own John Dunham. All of that and a little bit more on this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. Welcome. So welcome everybody to this week's EvoStick Division 1 show. Later in the show we're going to be touching upon Division 1 South, but before that it's time to kick things off with Division 1 North. And really, there's only one show in town at the moment in Division 1 North, Lancaster City. And joining me now from the Lancashire Post, it's sports reporter Adam Lord. Hello Adam, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm all good. I'm a bit flustered, but I'm all good. Now, when it comes to Lancaster City, when I said there's only one show in town, for a large chunk of the season now, Lancaster City have been really, really dominant. What's it all down to, in your humble opinion?
I'll challenge you first and say I think Farsley fans would argue with you. With three games in hand and 9 points back, it's mounting up for him, but it's far from cut and dry. But I don't know, Phil Brown knows the club inside out, came in to replace Darren Peacock, and sort of, this is his first full season. He had a fair chunk of last season, and they just missed out on the playoffs, and spoke to him pre-season. He said, you know, the old, we just want to improve sort of line, and that meant the playoffs, but the league's pretty wide open this year. I mean, I've been covering them for too long now, and there's been your Chesters and your FC Uniteds and your Salfords and your Darlingtons and Halifax and all that sort of thing, but this year it's pretty wide open, and at the moment Lancaster is certainly one of the beneficiaries. He knows the club, he knows the level, he knows where to get players from, and he's got a group who are working for each other at the moment, and it's certainly paying off.
Now obviously we did have Phil Brown on when the FA Cup run was taking place, because there were some cracking matches in that with the likes of Kidderminster and Darlington, of course, but Phil Brown, it's been a cracking turnaround considering where Lancaster were. I mean, they nearly crept up into the playoffs last season, if memory serves.
Yeah, they did, yeah. He took them over sort of in the lower reaches when Darren Peacock and Trevor Sinclair's reign sort of came to an end. Having gone for sort of, obviously, the bigger names, I guess, Darren and Trevor will be the first to admit they didn't necessarily know level that well. They gave it a good fist, they moved on, and then they went back to a guy who was assistant to Tony Hesketh when Lancaster should have gone up in 10-11 when they finished sort of plenty of points clear in second but couldn't get through the playoffs and lost the playoff final to Colin Bay in the rain and the mud at Giant Axe. He was assistant to Tony Hesketh then. Phil's got a really good football pedigree locally, been up to Stockport County where he's done a bit of work, runs the football side of Myerscough College near Preston, so knows a lot of the great, good young players, has links to Preston North End, so he's a football guy of that level and of this area. So, you know, I mean, they were top of the league and doing pretty well. And he went and decided he wanted needed Glenn Steele, experienced defender from Bamber Bridge. He got Paul Jarvis on a month's loan from Chorley. And Paul, formerly of the club, has now gone back to Chorley. He's doing really well at Chorley. So, yeah, it's quite a turnaround. But as I say, it is a wide open league this year. And Lancaster at the moment are simply the most consistent team. They're just winning games and getting results.
Now, as you rightly pointed out to me, Adam, I did say Lancaster's only show in town, and Farsley would strongly disagree. You're quite right. And we've got Tom Feeney, a sports journalist from the other side of the Pennines, joining us in the show as well to talk about the likes of Farsley. But Lancaster have opened up that 9-point gap. Admittedly, Farsley do have games in hand, but we've always said it, and everyone I speak to always says it, you'd rather have points on the board. That said, it's not totally insurmountable. What do you think the mood is like at Lancaster going into these final couple of months of the season?
They won't get carried away, but they're flying confidence-wise. It's interesting because Phil says they're maybe not playing the best football of the season. But if you look at, I mean, they went to fourth in the table, off at Town on Saturday, flew out the blocks, won 3-1. Looked really, really good against the side who you think might be able to trip them up. The confidence is sky high, but Phil said it sort of dosed a bit of realism. And the lads are, it sounds daft, they're not excited. They just want to get the job done. And as I say, it could be a historic year. I'll throw something else in there, which some non-league football fans, certainly in Lancashire, may well be aware that the former club captain, Neil Marshall, 400 games over 10 years, died of cancer late last year. Only 31, played until last May. So there is a big sense, it was said at the time when he passed away and you know his funeral packed out at the biggest church in Lancaster, that it would be a fitting tribute if they got over the line this year. A tinge with a bit of sadness that Neil isn't around to see it. But I'm sure the closer they get, and if they get over the line, he'll be very proud of what's going on. And if they do get over the line, he will be at the forefront of everyone's mind. Lancaster's always a club who's sort of been on the fringes of the playoffs. As I said, they had a real near miss when they should have gone up in 10-11, given the size of the city, and they were Conference North before the administration problems a good few years ago now. It is a club that could develop and could and would happily make the step up, I think, to the Premier Division. So we shall see. As I said, the Farsley thing is a funny one because I'm told, you know, they're playing, they're sort of maybe the opposite. They're playing some fantastic football, but they're letting goals in as well. But I don't know. I mean, from my point of view, Lancaster are playing Saturdays, apart from Easter right at the end of the season. That's it. There is no midweek game in the calendar at all. Farsley, we've got three to catch up in the league. Somebody might correct me, but I'm pretty sure they've got a County Cup final to fit in as well. So it will build up, and you know, if they draw here or there, one of their games in hand, then the pressure builds because suddenly, you know, they can't catch them up and they're relying on. But as Phil Brown said to me week in, week out, we will drop points, Farsley will drop points, we'll just have to wait and see. But granted, if Lancaster do not win the league title from here, I think everyone involved will be absolutely gutted.
And we should say it is going to be a very intriguing closing couple of months of the season in Division 1 North. And from a Lancaster City perspective, there's really only one place to keep abreast of the whole thing. Isn't that right, Adam?
Yeah, Lancaster Guardian, Lancaster Post. Thanks for it. I wasn't expecting the plug, but definitely. We're obviously keeping on top of it. Adam Lord LM is me. And as I say, we speak to Phil Brown every week, get the letters from him. It's shaping up to be a historic end of the season, and we'll be all over it, of course.
Well, Adam Lord from the Lancashire Post, a big thank you for joining us this month on the Division 1 show. Good luck this weekend. So, a big thank you there to Adam from the Lancashire Post. We're going to be touching upon Farsley Celtic's bid for the title in a second or two as we're joined by sports journalist from Yorkshire, Tom Feeney. But before that, we're going to stay on the left side of the Pennines. Some would say the right side, but I'm not that kind of guy. I'm going to say it's on one of the sides of the Pennines from the Lancashire side, from Radio Manchester and from 26-0, Hyde United's beloved in-house radio station. We're now joined by Mr. Ian Burke. Hello, Burkey. How's things?
It's going all right, actually. Yeah, now, I'm going to put my oar in here and say that Lancashire is the right side of the Pennines, but only just because my granddad was from Sheffield. So I've got feet in both camps.
That's good news. Good news. Right. So well balanced. So
not normal for me, that.
I've never considered Lancaster proper Lancashire anyway, in a strange way, even though technically it's the ancestral capital. But anyway, further south or from Lancaster, we've got some cracking sides from the Lancashire area who've put in sterling performances in the league this season in Division 1 North. One of them, we have to say, probably isn't even in Lancashire, it's probably classed as Cheshire, really. I'm leaving this county thing behind because it's getting us into a right muddle. Trafford.
Yeah, we're going the pre-boundary changes here, I think, aren't we? But I think you can call them Lancashire, can't you, really, from the olden days? Because Old Trafford, the cricket ground, is the home of Lancashire
Good
cricket.
Point.
So
Good
I reckon,
point!
You know.
Yeah. Anyway, Trafford, third.
Yeah, well, they've had a bit of a stumble, haven't they, recently? The Leicester came completely and utterly out of the blue. Then they drew with Mosley, which you wouldn't have expected either. But they had that great run. It was something like 16, 17 games unbeaten in the league, and it might be a bit of a relief to just to get that monkey off the back a little bit, that they don't have to keep up this ridiculous run, because no one saw it coming. I mean, you could see the experience they had, you could see they were playing really well, but you don't just put runs like that together out of nothing. And they've done brilliant. Tom Baker, the manager, it's second season in charge there, and he's done an absolutely fantastic job.
And it's looking likely as well, Berkey, that it looks like they're going to be in the playoffs this season. It's going to take a hell of a drop ball to ensure they're not going to be in the playoffs.
I'd be surprised, yeah. I mean, third place at the moment on 57 points. They're not going to win the league. They were kind of threatening it a few weeks ago, but I don't think that's going to happen. Where the Achilles heel might be from this season is the home form. They've only won 6 out of, I think, 15 or 16 games, and you'd expect them maybe to run a little bit better there, but the travels, they've done absolutely fantastically well. And, yeah, it's really what's seen them through it. They've got a really good squad, a very good young manager, and in Chris Shuker as well, a very experienced right-hand man. And, yeah, I'd be very surprised indeed if Trafford do drop out. And they've earned it, and they've deserved it this season.
It's been, like you said, Tom Baker's done a cracking job there, and it's cracking what's happened at Trafford. It's quite a transformation as well, considering the season they had last season and the season before that as well. It's been a good year at Shoreview.
Oh, it's great to see them back on the up as well. I mean, started on the back foot, didn't they, a couple of seasons ago when they got relegated, and it took a little bit of time to adjust last season. But towards the end of the campaign last year, Tom got them firing on all cylinders, and they didn't miss out that much on the playoffs. Last year, they put a really good run together in the final third as well. So, a couple of months coming up, though, they've got to play Hamsbottom twice there in form. They've got to play them twice this month, as they've got to play Tadcaster twice as well, who, on the day, they're a cracking team. They can beat anyone. They've just got that little bit of inconsistency about them, haven't they? So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But Trafford, for me, nailed on for the playoffs.
Now, it looks like the top four are pretty much nailed on. They're going to be in various different orders, perhaps, but it looks like those four teams are going to be there or thereabouts. Then there's that one spot, that one place. Clitheroe, Cone, Glossop North End. We'll get to Scarborough and Brighouse when we talk to Tom in a minute or two. But then you've got the likes of Ramsbottom United and an outside bet, maybe Bamber Bridge. And maybe even Hyde. Maybe. I'm just toying with you there, but maybe. It is a race for that. It is an exciting race, though, for that one remaining playoff spot.
It's great, actually. It really is. I think over the season so far, Clitheroe deserved it. They've been one of the better footballing, arguably the best footballing team in the division that I've seen, anyway. I've not seen Farsley yet. I'm going to have that pleasure tomorrow when they play against Hyde. But Clitheroe have been really impressed with them this campaign. And I don't know, they just sort of suffered from a bit of an unsteady start, really. I do see them probably just taking that last place. But Cone, they're similar to Trafford in so much that their home form's really let them down this season. They've got pretty much the best or second best away record in the entire division. But then you can't discount Glossop, then. They've got 3 games in hand on teams. They've got the second best home record there. They've just had a bit of a wobble this past month, so they've lost 4 out of the last 6, which, when they've only lost 10 all season, you know, it shows what a bad February they've had. But Chris Wilcock, the manager there, he's redoubled his efforts with signing new players. Dale Johnson, what a great signing he is up front.
All right, don't rub it in.
Yeah, but he's not anything.
He is, he's a cracking player.
Another ex-FC United. I don't know, I don't know how many FC United players, ex-FC United players have got at Glossop at the minute. But
8. Eight, I believe.
Eight,
yes, and the FC Forum looks at Glossop North End squad with envy a lot of times. They go, oh, why can't we sign him? Why can't we sign him? Get him back in and stuff like that. So it is a cracking squad, like you say.
Exactly. They just need a little bit of time to regel. They do seem to have lost the foot in a little bit in 2017. But with those 3 games in hand, they're in with a shout. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they do it, but I don't think they will. Yeah, I'm sticking my neck out. I think they'll be 6th or 7th.
And we should say as well, a big congratulations to the North West Counties, because Glossop North End were obviously a North West Counties side a few years ago. Cone have had a hell of a year since getting promoted as well. And we should say as well, the Eastern Counties too, Tadcaster Albion and Brighouse Town have had good seasons in recent years as well.
It's a really, really strong division there, the North West Counties League. Atherton call the favourites to come up, and if they do come up, they've got a really, really, really good side, and I'd be astounded if they don't finish top half. But Glossop, they've had 3 years now of sustained success. They had a great end to the season back in 2014. Then they got to Wembley the next year, won promotion, and they kicked on last year, finished in the playoff positions. It kind of all went a little bit to pot in the playoffs, but they've kicked on again this season. And, you know, I don't think they're quite an outside bet, but I don't think they're going to quite make it. I hope they do. everything prospering, of course, because one of my local clubs.
Just a quick mention, just down towards the bottom. Unlike in Division 1 South, it's quite interesting, the relegation picture, but it's not really happening down the bottom end of Division 1 North. Burscough have threatened occasionally, Goole have threatened occasionally, but it is looking likely now. Prescott have dropped a bit, Mosley have dropped a bit, Radcliffe have dropped a bit as well, we should say.
Yeah, it is kind of between those five, you would have thought, wouldn't you, for the two places going. Now, well, Burscough have gone, let's just say that straight. Burscough, I think they're gone. Goole, they have strung a couple of decent results together. And then Prescott, they just came out of nowhere and put that 2-0 win against Trafford the other week. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one anywhere would have expected that. So they have got potential at that club. And Dominic Murray up front, he's a great front man for them. And he leads them really well. He doesn't look like a footballer, but I can assure you he is. He's tenacious, to use one of Swampy's first words. Mosley, they've had a bit of had the woes, haven't they, this season. Poor old Bandy and Lloyd there. They've had basically four different squads.
And just to add, I did dangle that carrot. Hyde United currently in 12th position, 8 points from the playoff positions. Stranger things have happened, but if it's going to happen, you're going to need to beat Farsley this weekend, and that's going to be on 26-0, Hyde United against Farsley.
It is. You dangled a right good carrot for me there, didn't you, Ben? Yeah. The thing about Hyde, they've only lost two games all season, and that compares with the best in the division, Brighouse and Glossop and Farsley Celtic, and they're the only other teams you've lost to. Where Hyde have struggled is on this season. There's only two teams, and obviously they're right down the bottom. They've lost more games away than the Tigers. So it's a real sort of Jekyll and Hyde season for them. Excuse the dodgy pun there. But if Hyde win tomorrow, it's on. I just happen to think, seriously, we've been saying this the last few weeks, so if Hyde win, it's on, and they have been winning. They've been winning.
Yeah.
But this is the really, really, really big test. Farsley beat Hyde 2-1 earlier in the season, and apparently it was, well, I don't know. From what I heard, Hyde should have got something out of the game, but they didn't. It's going to be a really, really interesting game tomorrow.
And a quick plug for 26-0, because you'll be covering the game live, won't you?
We will be, yeah. It's me and Luke wittering nonsense, as we usually do, and trying to put it over that know what we're doing when we clearly don't. But listen, anyway, 26nil.com. Don't click on the link on the website because it doesn't work. You have to start going through all the rigmarole of clicking on the little links underneath. I don't know, it's a pain in the backside. So I need to update the website, basically. Go on 26nil and do your best.
26nil.com and just click every single window that's available, apart from the spanning advertising links. But Ian Burke from 26nil and Radio Manchester, big thank you for joining us. All the best this weekend.
Ben.
Wrap up warm and have a squirrel pie on us. So, for a view now from Yorkshire, we're joined by freelance sports reporter. It's a welcome return to Tom Feeney. Hello, Tom. How's things?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. So, thank you for coming on. For those people who follow my career, that's Ben Hughes on various different podcasts, Tom's now made his third appearance in 3 weeks on three different shows that I produce, and covering two different sports, so that's not bad. So welcome, Tom. You're coming on to talk about Division 1 North and a bit about Division 1 South from a Yorkshire perspective. Obviously, up at the top of Division 1 North at the moment, Lancaster City have opened up a bit of a gap, but Farsley Celtic do have games in hand and have been very, very consistent all the way through the season.
Yeah, well, they're closing in, aren't they? They're in a position where, with them games in hand, you can't say they're out of the race, really. You know, I mean, the job that's been done by Neil Parsley and John Deese has been fantastic, and one of the main reasons why they're doing so well right now, I mean, they've got three games in hand and they're 9 points away from Lancaster. So, you know, the reality is they win them games at their level. But one player that really has stood out and shone is James Walshaw, who he's a bit of a journeyman now. He's, you know, been there and done it, you know, likes Guiseley, Darlington, teams like that. And this season he broke the club record already of scoring the most goals in a season for Farsley Celtic since they reformed. So he's been on fine form. And you've got to say for Farsley, you know, as each week passes, they keep picking up these victories. And, you know, I know that one of the few losses they have had recently was the game against Lancaster. So, it, you know, it is one of them where for Farsley, they know if they can you know, get the victories around the teams around them, they're going to go up. To me, they are going to be the team that win the league in the end if they can keep this run going.
Wow, that's a prediction right there. I was going to say, we've been discussing Lancaster on this week's show already. But Fars, they are the great hope to create some form of title race this season. Lancaster have been excellent all season as well, we should say, with the cup run they had as well. So it is pretty much down to Lancaster and Fars, you feel, for the title.
To me, I'd say they are the two. I mean, you know, I look at Trafford, I think that their form can be a bit hit and miss. I thought there were a point where I thought Clitheroe could be the team that could have put some kind of challenge forward. I think that the gap now is just too much, really. And, you know, teams in and around them are doing okay. But again, that gap, it seems to be with Lancaster's form growing week by week. So I would say Farsley are the team to do it. And I've said it, I think they will be the team that does do it. I think they will be the team that finishes first.
And then that then leads us on to the playoff race. And the playoff race is a bit more intriguing, although only just, to be fair. It is spreading out a bit as February is coming to a close. Ossett Town, we can't undersell this. What Grant Black has done at Ossett Town this season has been absolutely unbelievable. And for them to be fourth coming into March is just an incredible achievement.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I spoke to him on his first day at the club, and I remember him saying, you know, if we can stay up this season, next season we'll do something special. And I think at that point you're thinking, you know, OK, what plans have you got in place? Because, you know, there was a time where it did look like relegation could happen. Harrogate Railway just picked up a few results, and in the end, you know, they were well clear of the relegation places by the end of the season. And what Grant Black has done, you know, you have to say, is just phenomenal. To take a team that when he took over, they looked bound for relegation, and to be fourth in the table, to be, you know, just picking up some really good results. And it has to be said as well, their last few results actually haven't gone their way. They lost to Colne, where they conceded an absolute wonder goal by Adam Morning. And remember watching that, it was a fantastic strike. And then they also lost to Lancaster City as well. So, you know, those results haven't gone the way. So they've had a bit of a blip. The hope for Grant Black will be that they've now got that blip out of the way. And, you know, if they can finish in the playoffs, what a great season it has been for Ossett Town. And, you know, just incredible, really, the progress that has been made in 12 months.
And we should say, coming into this show as well, Ossett Town, they have got a bit of a buffer as well in fourth. It's not like they're on the edge of the playoffs and they can be easily caught by the teams chasing them. They have got a bit of a four-point cushion there to Clitheroe in fifth. And Clitheroe are the ones who are peering over the shoulder somewhat. And one of the teams that I imagine they're looking at is Scarborough Athletic. Scarborough obviously played loads of games more than everyone else a couple of months ago, but they seem to have caught back up now with the games played. And Steve Kitchick there, we spoke to him early in the season. Promotion is the aim for Scarborough. Big, massive club. Got a new stadium on the way. Promotion's really, really important this season. And Scarborough, they're in the slipstream.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, you know, you look at how some things are more important than football, and the sad passing of Dave Holland, the chairman there, you know, the amount of work that he did for that club to ensure that they're on that way home, that they're going to be playing in Scarborough in the very near future. You know, the hope really is that that galvanises the players. You know, Steve Kitchick has said, if they gain promotion, it's all for him. You know, all the memories will be for Dave Holland. And I think, you know, you look at the players that Scarborough have got. They've got a very good squad assembled there. Steve Kitchick, a manager who obviously managed higher levels than, you know, Evo Stick Division 1 North. And he's used his contacts book to get some real quality in there. And, you know, that's the thing. A few months ago when they were in a good position, but you looked and thought, right, they've got four games in hand on, you know, teams in and around them. You are looking now and they've got a few games played, more than one or two, but very much now a level playing field.
But there are a couple of wild cards still hanging around because of the games in hand situation. Obviously, there's Glossop North End, who've had two cracking seasons now, back-to-back at this level, cracking stuff. Ramsbottom United can't be ruled out, but also can't be ruled out. It's the team in ninth position at the moment. Brighouse Town, they too have had a cracking season thus far.
Yeah, they have. And I think, you know, you look at the work that Paul Quinn's done when he got this side into the division, it was all about, you know, small signs of progression year on year. You know, there wasn't, at the start of the season, it wasn't a case of, right, we're going to gain promotion, but they had an incredible start and were top, you know, going into October. results-wise, you know, the problem for Brighouse, it hasn't been losses, it's been more draws. They've been drawing a few games where, you know, on another day they'd have got a victory here, a victory there. But they've got some very good players. You know, they've got Taylor in net, who someone who, you know, a very established goalkeeper in this division. And then a couple of wild cards, the likes of Luke Parkin, who was very highly rated at Leeds United within the academy setup. It didn't work for whatever reason. He's gone there and seems to be doing a good job as well. So, you know, you'd look at them and think, you know, if they can go on the run of form they were on at the start of the season, why not? Why can't they end up in the playoffs?
And just to cover off a couple of other teams in your patch, obviously Tadcaster Albion, a cracking season, and we should also mention, you mentioned the passing of chairman at Scarborough Athletic, David Holland, and we should say the support that Tadcaster Albion provided to Scarborough in recent weeks has been legendary, and goes to show you what non-league football is all about. And just a bit further down, Ossett Albion seem a bit safe to me. It's not been the best of seasons. And then there's Goole. Goole, the last two matches, I've clawed it back somewhat, and survival looks like it's a possibility all of a sudden for them.
Yeah, it really does. You know, they've got a very young management team in charge now where, you know, obviously results, when they actually took over results-wise, they went four games unbeaten, and you were thinking if they can continue this run, they'll be out the relegation places soon. Then they've had quite a blip in form, but the last two results have just shown what can happen with that team. You know, they've got a couple of experienced heads in there. It's interesting that Derry Robson, you know, one of the co-managers, scored one of the goals for Goole against Drosden. But a player that I look at is Devontae Morton, who I've seen him play for a couple of academy sides. He scored against Drosden as well, and he could be the kind of player that can chip in with a few more goals towards the end of the season. I mean, I think we all know it's going to be very close whether or not they stay up, but they've at least given themselves a fighting chance going into March.
And just a quick mention for Division 1 South while we've got you on. Shaw Lane have been formidable all season. At time of recording, we don't know the result at Northwich Victoria between Northwich and Shaw Lane from Wednesday evening. But Shaw Lane are out in front. Time of recording, they've got a 3-point lead. I saw them against Witten, though, last week, and it wasn't the best of performances, we should say, and Witten Albion are breathing down Shaw Lane's neck now.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with them. They went on this incredible unbeaten run. It ended recently where, you know, they'd really were. Week after week, it was win-draw, win-win, win-draw, and, you know, great run of form. Craig Elliott's building something there. You know, they've got financial backing as well. You know, they've got someone in charge who really does care about the club, wants to give something back to the local community. And looking at it, you know, you would say that because of the amount of games they've got in hand on the likes of Spalding, Newcastle Town, Rushden and Diamonds, you would say that really their only challenger are Witten. But, you know, there's only 3 points between them. And, it just goes to show you've got to give credit to Witten, because a lot was being made of the run that Shaw Lane was on, this unbeaten run, which started at the end of September and only ended in mid-February. You know, that's incredible. But there's only 3 points between them. And as you said, I think Witten gave them a little bit of a scare with the way that they played. And it's going to be very interesting to see just what happens now. They have actually brought a couple more players in, one of them being Simon Lennon, who was at Leeds United, was at Rotherham. He's had a time where he was a standout player at Frickley. So, you know, he's got good pedigree, and the hope for Craig Elliott and his side is that they're the kind of signings that can just give them that little bit of quality when they need it in these tough games.
And unlike in Division 1 North, Division 1 South, the playoffs, it's a narrower field for the playoff positions. Sheffield FC were there for a long time. Compared to previous seasons, Sheffield have had a belting year this year, now in mid-table, it feels. And Stocksbridge Park Steels, as long as they've got games in hand, people around the MPL show table are going to go, oh, Stocksbridge, but they can't do it, can they, from where they are at the moment? They're too far back, surely.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I heard the chairman say just last week, actually, that, you know, he feels as long as there's a mathematical chance, they've got that mentality that they're going to do it. But I just think they've had a couple of results recently where, you know, just a little bit unlucky, really. You know, losses that could have been draws that could have been wins. And at the end of the season, you do think that that'll be what costs them a place in the playoffs. But again, you know, you look at Sheffield FC, you look at Stocksbridge, they're two teams that are just slowly but surely progressing. They're making the right steps. I think Stocksbridge, I can't see them finishing where they are right now, which is 14th. I think they'll finish quite a bit higher than that, but I do think, unfortunately, that in the end, I do think that they will miss out on the playoffs.
Well, Tom Feeney, our very own Yorkshire ear to the ground, a big thank you for coming on the show. Just before you go, just a quick plug for all your work, where people can follow you and hear your views on various rugby league and footballing matters on the east side of the Pennines.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to listen to him, it is Twitter. It's at Thomas Feeney. That's Thomas, F-E-A-H-E-N-Y.
So a big thank you there to Thomas Feeney for joining us, and that is Division 1 North done and dusted. You'll never hear from them again. Well, you might in coming weeks. But anyway, a big thank you to Tom Feeney for joining us. Towards the end of that interview there, we started to touch upon a few of the sides in his patch from Division 1 South. So it's now time to look at Division 1 South, and joining me, it's the return of a long, dear old friend. It's Mr. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Andy. How's things?
Really good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all good. So in a second or two, just to put the pressure on, coming up in the Division 1 South bit, we've got Mark Lee from the Spalding Guardian coming on to talk about Spalding, and we've got John Dunham coming on from the Northants Telegraph to talk about Rushden and Diamonds, obviously. But, Simo, this is a title race now. It's kind of like a three-horse race. Although the advantage is still slightly with Shaw Lane, but Witt and Albion are certainly breathing down the necks, especially after that win against Shaw Lane a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think that's changed a lot. Although I think your analysis is correct. I think Shaw Lane remain favourites, but I think they're slight favourites, whereas previously they've probably been overwhelming favourites. Spoken at length to people in the Witten camp, obviously, since that victory against Shaw Lane. And look, Witten are a confident bunch anyway. They're in good form anyway. But it's certainly given that little bit of extra belief that they very much can challenge for the title. That's been kind of born of a superb run that they've been on. They've 10 matches unbeaten now after winning at Stocksbridge in midweek, and they've won 8 of those, which has allowed them to climb into second spot in the table. And obviously, the kind of icing on the cake of that run was beating Shaw Lane, who'd obviously lost only once previously this season. We go into the weekend with a 6-point gap between them, but Witten do have a game in hand. A couple of reasons why I think Shaw Lane remain slight favourites is that they have a much kinder fixture list. I've been going through that this morning before talking to you. Witten's March in particular is going to be really challenging because they play Spalding twice, Rushden twice, ooh, and Leek twice.
Blimey. So that is a bad month.
I think... That's so you're looking at it from a Witten point of view and go, you know, that's really, really tough to catch. Certainly really tough to win all of those, which is still probably what they're going to need to do at the moment to keep pressure on Shaw Lane. I've looked at Shaw Lane's fixture list, and that's kind of the double whammy for Witten, where you're kind of studying that and going, OK, where is it going to be possible that Shaw Lane might drop points? There's a couple. I mean, they've got to play Newcastle at home in March, and they've got a really tough game away to Basford, who obviously are challenging for the playoffs as well. So Shaw Lane haven't got it all their own way. I think Witten was secretly hoping that kind of beating Shaw Lane last week might induce a little bit of a wobble, a little bit of a stumble, but Shaw Lane certainly haven't shown any signs of that. The two games since losing at Winchin Park, they've won both of them and scored 9 goals. There's certainly no sign that it's knocked them off track or anything like that. But the good thing, and I think it is a good thing, obviously I'm looking at it from a Northwich point of view, but I think it's great that we have a title race. You don't want Shaw Lane to disappear into the distance. You let to, if they're going to win it, make them earn it.
And we spoke about that in Division 1 North, because obviously Lancaster City have got a very big lead, but Farsley have got all the games in hand. And that was always the danger with Witten. They had so many games in hand, they had to cram them all in. And in many ways, they still are, as you say, cramming them in. But they've I think it's a bit above expectations what's happened with Carmel College side in the last couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they went into the season certainly hoping or expecting, it might even be the right word, to certainly challenge for the playoffs. And because they were going into a new division, they obviously played in Division 1 North last season, it's always quite difficult to predict where you're going to be in relation to everybody else. It's quite an easy thing to say, oh yeah, Witten are a big club, they'll be all right. But they needed to do the business on the field. And obviously having the distraction of a really good run in the FA Trophy and a half-decent run in the FA Cup left them playing catch-up, like you said. They have done that, they have caught up now, but they are playing Saturday, Tuesday for the rest of the season. And if any more postponements come along, they're going to have to cram in a Thursday game as well. Shaw Lane have only got one game more than them, so they're also going to be very busy in the last 2 months of the season. So they're both in the same kind of position when it comes to that. And you know, let's see what happens. I mean, I'd interviewed one of Witten's senior players on Monday, Paul Williams, and to be fair, he was quite honest and said, look, we probably still would swap to be in Shaw Lane's position. They have got the points in the bag. He would always prefer to be in that position. So he concedes that there's still some catch up to do. But it's been really interesting to see the kind of belief that has kind of flown through the team in the two games since beating Shaw Lane. They really fancy it. And that hopefully for the rest of us following it will make for a really good last 2 months of the season.
Now then, as I said, I'm going to get Mark Lee from the Spalding Guardian on in a second. But it's looking increasingly likely now that the playoffs, the top two spots are sorted in a way. It's going to be either Shaw Lane, Witten or Spalding United in various orders. Then below that, it looks like there's four teams for two spots. Newcastle, Rushden Diamonds, Basford United and Leek Town. And obviously, we've got John Dunham coming on for Rushden Diamonds. What's your view on the chances for the other three, Basford, Leek and Newcastle?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I've seen Witten beat Newcastle comfortably twice this season, and I think I've said to you a couple of times that I think they would be the most vulnerable to drop out for balance. And to be fair, they've hung around, they've stuck in there. They lost heavily in those two games, but they're on a good little run at the moment, 1-3 of the past four, and they're not going away quietly if they are going to go away. Rushden, I mean, not too many moons ago, I tipped them if they could go on a similar run to Witten to be challenging for the title. I think their title hopes have now gone. They've had a little bit of a wobble and they've lost two games in a row, but it's two games against direct rivals. They lost to Spalding and then were beaten heavily by Basford last time out. So they'll definitely be looking for a reaction this weekend when they play Stocksbridge, just to kind of get back on track. Basford, I think, have got a great chance of finishing in the playoffs. They finished fourth last season, so they know what it takes to get there. Really impressed when I've seen them this season against Witten, and they've got to play a lot of the teams around them as well, so it's very much in their hands, although the slight disadvantage they have is that they've played more games than everybody else, so they've got a little bit less margin for error. Leek, I think, absolutely are still very much in the hunt. They've got a run of home games coming up now, and if they can pick up points from those, that will definitely propel them into the top five, and I still think it's Newcastle that are the most vulnerable to drop out. You're right, I think it probably, below them, I think it's a big ask for anybody to make a late run. I don't know if you were going to ask me about that, but if anyone's going to do it, Lincoln United are showing signs at the moment that they might. They've put a brilliant run together, unbeaten during February, unbeaten in the past six games, in fact, winning four of those. And they have got games in hand on the teams above them. The problem Lincoln have got is they probably can't afford to lose too many more, and that's a lot of pressure. But they're making a late surge, and it's not unknown, is it, for someone to kind of creep up behind everybody else unexpected. But I still think it's between the teams down from Spalding to Leek, and it's going to be a real scrap down to the finish. Spalding should be okay, and you'll speak to Mark and he'll give you a bit more. But I've read an interview with their manager this morning, and he's kind of said that they're playing for third, really, because he thinks Witten and Shaw Lane will obviously fill the top two spaces. I don't think that's being defeatist. I think that's realistic, because the top two have got so many games in hand on Spalding. But yeah, it's set up for a really good race.
It is a cracking playoff race, certainly, and title race in Division 1 South. But it's also an intriguing relegation battle as well. We covered the points deduction for Northwich last month. They've clawed it back in a way. They're 4 points now from safety, and they have two games in hand. Rugby Town are second from bottom, 2 points from safety. Played the same number of games as Loughborough Dynamo, who were third from bottom, who were 2 points from that drop. So it's a three-way tussle for two places.
Yeah, I think so. I think Carlton they picking up points here and there. They're doing enough, and I think they will be okay. I think and it is only a slight concern at the moment. Gresley have had a really poor 6 weeks. They've lost six of the past seven games. They just need to be a little bit careful that run doesn't go on for too much longer. But they have got 32 points, so it's quite a big gap that they've got over the bottom three. Just to move on to the bottom three, you're quite right about Northwich. They lost heavily to Shaw Lane on Wednesday. But to be fair, Vic's season isn't going to be defined by games against Shaw Lane. That was very much a free hit. They weren't expected to pick up any points, and indeed they didn't. But going into that game, they'd pieced together a little three-match unbeaten run. The Munich had not conceded any goals. I spoke to Paul Moore, their manager, this morning, and he concedes that March is going to be a really big month for them. They've got a tough 10 days ahead when they've got to play Lincoln and Rushden, but after that, it's probably going to be the most important fortnight of their season, because they will play Loughborough, Carlton and Gresley in home games before the end of the month. So Northwich will have a much clearer idea of where they're at. And they are very much, he's happy to have said, they're very much games that they're targeting. They know if they can pick up points in those games, then they've got a brilliant chance of creeping out of it. Loughborough and Rugby, had a little look at their fixture list. I'd be worried if I was a Rugby fan. They've got a horrendous march to come because they've got to play Shore Lane and Witten twice. And there's no real sign of them putting a run together at the moment. So it's going to be a tough month for them. Loughborough have got a slightly busier month. They've got more games, but they will look at it as well. Obviously, that Vicks game's a big one. They have already beaten Vicks this season. And they've got to play a couple of the other teams down the bottom of the table. So they will think, well, we could maybe pick up one or two wins that might be enough for us in March. But yeah, certainly I think it's Northwich to keep an eye on because they've got that run of games against the teams just above them in the table that by this time next month, when we do next month's edition, it'd be interesting to see if they've picked up the points they think that they can and whether it's the other two then occupying the bottom two places. But yeah, I think it's a three-team battle, and I think, like you said, you know, compared to the top of the table, I think there's plenty to play for and it's good. There's interest for us. There's nobody cut adrift. There's a genuine battle for survival, which is good.
Absolutely, and from a Northwich perspective as well, which the glaring thing about Northwich is the goal difference. It's so much better than Rugby and Loughborough's.
Good point, yeah.
Essentially, all Northwich needs a win and a draw if there was no more games after this month to overtake Loughborough.
And they're quietly confident. I mean, like I say, they lost heavily to Shore Lane, but it's one where they're like, yeah, okay, you know, we got something. It would have been a massive bonus because they weren't expecting it. I don't expect that to have dented their confidence too much. Like I said, they've got a tough 10 days. Bedworth away this weekend, which is never an easy place to go. And then they're playing Lincoln and Rushton, who are obviously Rushton over the playoffs and Lincoln in really good form. But then it's that decisive fortnight. So they won't want to go into that off the back of four defeats. They want to try and pick up something in the next 10 days. But they're very much gearing March up for that two-week push when they've got that run of home games.
Well, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, where's the best place to keep abreast of everything that's going on in the non-league heartland that is Mid-Cheshire?
Yes, northwichguardian.co.uk will have all the latest from Vicks and Witten's challenges, or you can keep an eye on my social media, which is simo_on_sport on Twitter. And as usual, I'll be a very busy boy during March.
And it's a big game this weekend, Witten against Spalding. And I think your Twitter feed's the place to keep an eye on things.
I will be there, weather permitting, as we talk. It is raining heavily in Northwich, but Winchester Park is one of the better pitches in the league. And obviously, it's a game that Witten definitely will want to get on with it being against a direct rival. So, yes, I will be there tomorrow, so keep an eye on my Twitter feed for how that goes.
Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, you have a lovely weekend, wrap up warm, and we'll speak to you soon. So, sticking with Division 1 South, we're now joined by the sports editor at the Lincolnshire Free Press and the Spalding Guardian, it's Mark Lee. Hello Mark, how's things?
Hello there, fine, thank you.
So we've got you on because Spalding United have obviously had a cracking season, but there's been a managerial change. Firstly, going into the managerial change, how's the season been at Spalding United, covering it as you have been?
It's been fantastic, to be honest, yeah. We had a great relationship with Dave Frecklington. Obviously came in last summer, and obviously the results speak for themselves, really. He's done a fantastic job and earned the right to get a promotion, if you like, with a bigger club at a higher level. Obviously, his work previously at Lincoln United as well has done him some favours and got him that job at Gainsborough Trinity.
It's a cracking appointment. We've had Mr. Frecklington on a couple of times on the show, and he is a cracking manager and a cracking guest to speak to as well, we should say. But there has been a managerial change. Not too much of a change in continuity, though, at the club.
Yeah, well, I think that was the key thing, really, to get that stability. In fact, that was one of the key words, I think, in the club statement when it came through on that Monday morning, very unexpectedly, I have to say. But yeah, it was a complete surprise. But obviously, the assistant manager, Chris Rawlinson, stepped up. So, and indeed, the new assistant manager, Kevin Ward, was at the club previously as well. So they've got that continuity, like you're saying, a little bit of stability there. So along with the director of football, Bob Dunduncan, who's been around the club for a long time, hopefully things will sort of carry on. And so far, so good, really. They've obviously had a couple of wins since then.
Yeah, I was gonna mention the most significant win. I mean, we've got John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph coming on in a second. The big win was that 2-1 win against Rushden Diamonds. Very, very important. And that kind of the thing with Spalding United all season, they've always played more games than everyone else, but it now looks like they've solidified themselves at least in third position this season.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. The biggest thing about that win at the Dog and Duck was that it was the first time Spalding had beaten anybody in the top seven. Although they'd sort of run Shore Lane close a couple of times, they'd obviously lost both games, only got 1 point against Newcastle, and actually they'd lost at home to Diamonds, who had 10 men as well, so it sort of rolls reversed, really. But that was a fantastic performance, especially obviously with 10 men. For most of the second half, to come from 1-0 down to win there really was a sort of statement of intent. And, well, at the time it kept them in second, but obviously Witten have finally caught up on a couple of games in hand and gone into second now. But, yeah, I think Spalding are looking fairly well set for third.
And I think that's very important as well. I mean, when we speak to John in a second, it looks like it's going to be four teams vying for two playoff spots. It's going to be very, very lots of twists and turns, and Spalding, I think, from their point of view, are best off out of it doing their own thing. So going into towards the end of the season now, into the closing months of the season, and we brought all these journalists on this week to take stock of where we are with Spalding United. It looks like with the managerial change, Spalding is still going to be competing. There is an outside chance of a title push because obviously Shore Lane and Witten do have games in hand. Stranger things have happened though. What's the mood at the camp for these closing months?
Dave Frecklington actually wrote off the championship chances just before he left, and Chris Rawlinson's kind of followed the same sort of sentiment with that. I think realistically you've got to look at, even if one of them slipped up, Shore Lane or Witten, realistically they're not both going to. Like you say, they've got so many games in hand. They only have to win two or three of those, and obviously they've built up a nice little gap there. So I think realistically they are looking at the playoffs. The target's always been 2 points a game, which they're just slightly short of, but obviously that would be more than enough to get you in the playoffs. And I think the key thing is really to get that home tie in the semi-final, and also to keep that gap at the minute above the chasing pack. And there's some big games coming up. They've got a double header with Witten, still got to play Leake away at some stage whenever the pitch is ready, and obviously got Basford as well. So there's some big games coming up out of the last 10.
And the thing is as well, I mean, I've spoke to Spalding a few times, and the top seven there, all of them have aspirations to be in the league above, if not the league above that as well. It's very, very competitive in Division One South. In closing then, Matt, what's your general impression of the competition overall this season?
Yeah, it's been really strong. No really poor sides. I've seen Spalding away at places like Loughborough and Rugby, and they've really had to fight hard to get the results. So, yeah, it's been really competitive, really impressive sort of standard. Spalding have done really well. I think we expected them to do pretty well. They've probably done better than we expected, to be honest. Players they've brought in know what it's all about, and they know how to get results at that level.
Well, Matt Lee, sports editor at the Lincolnshire Free Press and the Spalding Guardian, big thank you for making your debut on the show and coming on. And just a quick plug for the best place to keep abreast of everything that's going on at Spalding United.
Yeah, well, I'm at every game, home and away, Spalding United at the moment, so our Twitter account is Spalding Sports. We have live updates home and away. Obviously Facebook as well, Spalding Sport. And our website, Spalding Today. So, yeah, full coverage on that. And we've got two papers. The Free Press comes out on a Tuesday, which obviously has the weekend action and midweek previews. And then we have The Guardian, which comes out on a Thursday, where obviously we look ahead to the forthcoming weekend as well.
And you could, of course, follow yourself on Twitter as well, Matt, just before you go.
Yeah, Spalding Mark Lee, sorry, yeah, as well.
Well, Matt Lee, a big thank you for joining us this month on the Division One show. Wrap up warm this weekend, and you have a lovely weekend. So, lastly on this week's show, looking at Division 1 South, we've heard from the perspective of Spalding as well as Witten Albion. What about Rushden and Diamonds? Joining me now is the welcome return from the Northants Telegraph. It's the welcome return to John Dunham. Hello, John. How's things?
Good, Ben. How are you, mate?
I'm all good. So this month's show on Division 1 show has been like a kind of taking stock, because we're coming into the last couple of months of the season. It's about to kick off royally when it comes to title races and playoff races and that kind of thing. Rushton and Diamonds have been 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th all the way through this season. How do you think it's all going to pan out for them in the coming weeks and months?
Well, if you'd asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, no problem, playoffs, definitely. No question about it. But fast forward a couple of weeks, and they've had a little blip. They lost to Spalding, who were very good when they went down to 10 men, and they were 1-0 down at the Dog and Duck. I was there to see it, and they did very well that night. But Diamonds definitely blew it from their point of view. And then they went and to Basford, who have obviously played a few more games than everyone else, and they had to win the game against Diamonds, and they did emphatically so. They beat them 3-0. So Diamonds, their game at Chasetown was off on Tuesday, so they have been licking their wounds somewhat this week, and they go into two huge home games, Saturday against Stocksbridge, and then Tuesday obviously against Witten, very much with a fight on their hands, because Basford are right in the thick of things now. Leek Town are right in it as well, and like I say, it's all going to be decided over what's left of the season, but more so because Diamonds have got to play Witten twice and they've got to play Leek twice.
Wow.
So I mean, it's going to be. I genuinely think that it will be all riding, certainly in the playoffs, from the playoff point of view. I think a lot will ride on those two games between Diamonds and Leek, to be honest.
And you reckon it's looking increasingly likely it's going to be two places for four sides, it looks like to me.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at the table, I think obviously Shore Lane and Witten and Spalding are the three who are vying for the title. So those three, two of those three are definitely going to be in the playoffs. I think you're looking at, you don't want to write anyone off, but I think we're looking at two from four. I think we're looking at two from Newcastle, Town, Diamonds, Basford and Leek. I think, two of those will get in and two will miss out. I think anyone below Leek have probably got a bit too much to do now, to be honest. So yeah, I think that's what we're looking at. I think we're looking at two from four for the playoffs. And like I say, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would have, said without any question that Diamonds would be in there. But they've had a little blip, and the question for them now is how quickly I can get over it.
Now, we all know about the non-league pedigree of Witten Albion. Used to be a conference side, for example. Rushton and Diamonds, how important is it for Rushton and Diamonds to go up this year? Or can they survive another season or two at this level?
It's a good question. I don't think that there is a mass desperation to go up, in all truth. But every club's ambitious, aren't they? So, every club that wants to go on, they definitely want to go on. But, as far as the club itself is actually concerned, it's only been in formation 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and they've gone through two promotions already in that time. As well as having a few decent FA Cup runs and everything, so they've done okay, and they've reached a point now where, they're not quite in the title race, and they've been in, they got to a playoff final last season and got beaten, and they look like they could get into the playoffs again this season, which was their target from the outset. Certainly the manager's point of view, he wasn't looking at necessarily at the title, he was looking at playoffs and everything. So, but Everyone seems fairly relaxed. I think, the fans obviously want to see them go up. Obviously, it wouldn't be normal if they didn't. So, they want to see them progress. But would it be the end of the world if they didn't go up? No. Would they be disappointed? Very much so, because they've been up there for most of the season. So, it's one of those. They're also in a situation where they're looking at probably moving grounds next season as well. So that's something to keep in mind as well. So there's bigger things going on for them as well, as aside from what's happening on the pitch. So I think they do want to go up if they possibly can, but will it be the end of the world if they don't? No, I don't think it would.
Well, it's good to have AFC Rushden Diamonds in the division, and it's good to have them in the mix for these playoffs. The top seven this season, coming into these closing couple of months, have all been superb and all worthy of a playoff spot. It has been absolutely tremendous, the running so far. And there's going to be loads of twists and turns, John. Where's the best place to keep abreast of everything that's going on?
Yeah, we have our website that's updated pretty much daily, which is www.northamptontelegraph.co.uk, and we have the paper out once a week on a Thursday if you're in the area, and you can follow me on Twitter at @JohnDunhamNT. I will certainly be, from Diamond's point of view, I'll certainly be at Diamond's on Tuesday night for the game against Witten with giving updates on that. So yeah, I'm always active on Twitter. So yeah, that's probably a good place to start.
Well, John Dunham from the Northants Telegraph, a big thank you for joining us this month on the Division One show, and you have a lovely weekend. And that, dear listener, is this month's edition of the Evo Stick Division One show. A big, big thank you to all my guests this month for joining me, six of the finest non-league journalists in the game today. We'll be back next month with another edition, but remember, you can follow the show in the meantime. That's at NPL Show on Twitter. And of course, you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. Look out for the Evo Stick NPL Show, which will be out later today. That's on Friday, if you're listening, on this very channel here on Audio Boom and the iTunes Store. But from everyone here at the Evo Stick Division 1 Show, wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Division 1 side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
The shortlist committee has had its say. Chosen by fans and NPL show regulars, the EvoStick NPL show is pleased to announce the nominees for this year's Supporters Player of the Season 2016-17. And the nominees are...
Dale Hobson, Whitby Town.
The Whitby Town midfielder has helped turn the Seasiders' fortunes around at the club this season, going from relegation candidates a year ago to a side competing for promotion this season.
Anthony Melbourne, Kidsgrove Athletic.
Melbourne returns to the final vote for the second year running, after helping keep his side on the heels of a highly competitive playoff race in Division 1 South this season.
Dan Maguire, Blyth Spartans.
Currently one of the league's top goal scorers, the 24-year-old Spartan gets the nod after a string of performances which have helped to give Blyth an impressive lead up at the top of the NPL Premier Division.
Elliot Rocker, Radcliffe Borough.
The young Borough player gets himself on the shortlist after an impressive season for the Berry Bay side. With 18 goals to his name, the versatile forward can play both on the wing as well as an out-and-out striker.
James Walshaw, Farsley Celtic.
After returning to Throstle Nest in the summer, Walshaw is currently the division's top goalscorer and has wasted no time in helping put the Celts firmly in the title race in Division 1 North. And those are this year's nominees. A big thank you to all the supporters for their nominations, and a big congratulations to those who have made the final five. You have until 11:59 p.m. on Sunday the 12th of March, so please visit the EvoStick League website now to register your vote. But be warned, if you do vote more than once, then all of your votes will not be counted. Good luck, everyone.